Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios? Here's Mean Gene.
Pack it up, pack it in. For the first time in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final, and they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
All right, folks. Hey, my goodness. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town. I am back in the studios after a little bit of a hiatus. My producer, John B., on the other side with that nice sound bite. John, can you believe it?
I'm a little shocked.
I think they're still jumping around in New York, right?
I think they're doing a lot more than jumping around, yeah.
Look here, man. After a 25-year Eastern Conference Finals drought, the New York Knicks are in the Conference Finals after defeating the defending NBA champions Boston Celtics 119-81 in front of a packed Madison Square Garden. Look, some people don't understand the magnitude of this win. And look, you have to relive the history of the Knicks, all of the ups and downs since the year 2000, including, John, 11 different head coaches during that time frame. So, look, I'm going to take people back down memory lane here just to put a little bit of sauce on this, okay? Do you remember, like, when in 2000, when this started, Jeff Van Gundy was the last coach to achieve this success with the Knicks? And then, you know, Van Gundy, that wore out a little bit. And then Don Chaney comes in there for a little bit. And then things got so bad, they had to go back and find Lenny Wilkins. I mean, Lenny Wilkins probably was already 80 years old at that time when they got Lenny. Lenny did it for 1 year. They got Larry Brown in there. And then, oh, let's not forget, Isaiah Thomas had a couple of years as the Knicks head coach. Did absolutely nothing. No playoffs, no anything. And, of course, you remember he got himself in a little bit of trouble there, Isaiah Thomas did. So after Isaiah Thomas, let's give Mike D'Antoni a chance. All right, so D'Antoni comes in, has some success, actually. Not the first couple of years, but he did get him in the Eastern Conference first round. He lost in the first round for 2 years in a row, 2010, 2011, I think, 2012. Then he got him in the semis, and he lost again. So, well, no, he didn't. He didn't get him in the semis. They fired him, and then they brought in Mike Woodson. You remember Mike Woodson? The guy that had the shiny black beard that Lord knows what he put in there to keep that thing so damn shiny, right? But anyway, Mike Woodson came in there. And so after Mike Woodson, then I don't know what the Knicks was thinking about. They hired Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher from, we're talking the Los Angeles Lakers, Derek Fisher. And then that didn't work out. Derek Fisher went 23-31. So they figured, well, we can do better than Derek Fisher. They hired Kurt Rambis. I think Rambis was his interim coach, you know, the assistant coach. I'm like, Lord, the Knicks, man, it was horrible. No playoffs. And then they said, well, we like this point guard being a head coach thing. So how about we bring in Jeff Hornacek? Do you remember that? They brought in Jeff Hornacek, you know, used to be with the Utah Jazz. That lasted a couple of years. That didn't work out. So then there was this coach down there in Miami who was, you know, a pretty good assistant. David Fizdale. They bring in David Fizdale. He He did take the team, you know, to some – I mean, he did somewhat better. Fizdale last – well, he didn't do that much better. He went 17-65. Okay. It just got worse. I'm sorry. So he lasted two seasons. Then in 2020, they bring in Tom Thibodeau. So Thibodeau has been the coach now for the last in his fifth season. And the Knicks – I mean, so that's 25 years of the New York Knicks. And you got to understand why the hoopla and the jubilation and everything. I mean, it's just really huge. And it's good for the NBA because it's a major market. You know, I mean, you want to see the Knicks. You want to see the Lakers. I mean, this is good for the NBA. But look, Knicks fans, enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can, because I'm going to have to bust your thunder here, because look, you're getting ready. Look, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Hoorah. And all of that good stuff. But now you're getting ready to face the Indiana Pacers. And in my opinion, this Pacers team is no joke. But look, let's just kind of talk about the Boston Celtics and this game. For the longest, I thought it was a game 7, but it was not. It was a game 6 because I kept anticipating a game 7, which did not take place. But as far as the Boston Celtics, look, man, say what you want to say. They were the defending champions. They did not come into this season not thinking that they were going to have another chance to run it back. I mean, that's what you want to do. Still a great team. You know, John, and a lot of people, and I think a lot of folks, especially here in H-Town, would agree with me that I still look at that Boston Celtics team as being Ime Udoka's team. I mean, you can disagree with me. But I just think that team, and look, I was thinking, on the ride coming down here, if Coach Udoka was there, that team would not lose two games at home to the New York Knicks the way they did after having two 20-point leads the way they did. I mean, we know now as Houston Rockets fans here, and we are reaping the benefits of Coach Udoka's services now, and I think the Boston Celtics realize that they missed his defensive, expertise. And I'm not saying, look, what happened to the Boston Celtics, what happened to Jason Tatum, injuries can just ruin anybody's franchise. You know, you saw it with the Golden State Warriors, and you saw it with the Boston Celtics. But, I mean, just kind of looking at the mess that the Knicks got them, that the Boston Celtics got themselves in, they were already two games down with Jason Tatum. And the Knicks did what the Knicks did, and give it up to the Knicks for having the shortest rotation in all of basketball. How the hell you beat teams with 7 players? I don't know. Tom Thibodeau is a beast, and the Knicks, one reason why the Knicks were successful this year and unlike in the last couple of years, because look, Thibodeau had this team. They lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals last year. They had a 50-32 record, won 50 games. The year before that, they lost in the Eastern Conference semis. Injuries really derailed the team over the last couple of years. This has been a somewhat injury-free team for the Knicks this year, and it shows. Look at the teams now in these playoffs that are injury-free. Look at the Denver Nuggets. Look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. And look at the New York Knicks, and look at the Indiana Pacers. Look at the teams that had injuries, and look at those teams are not in the playoffs now. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look what happened, And we still don't know what's going to happen with a Game 7 with Denver and Oklahoma City. But I can tell you what, the news is not so good out of Denver now with Aaron Gordon possibly not playing in a Game 7. Which we saw him grab his hamstring. We saw what happened to the last player that grabbed his hamstring on a basketball court. He never returned to finish the playoff series, and that was Steph Curry when he went down. So the Oklahoma City Thunder could be in a great position to go to the Western Conference Finals and take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. So look, what I'm saying here is that, man, we could have a new champion. Somebody between Halliburton, it could be the Clutch Man, Jalen Brunson. It could be Ant-Man, or it could be Shai Gilgeous is going to win an NBA championship.
Jokic.
Well, he's already won one.
Yeah. But that's true. Yeah. You said a new champion.
Yeah. I mean, look, and I'm already just saying that Denver is screwed, which they may not be. Look, for the Denver Nuggets to be as far along in this NBA playoffs as they are, having fired their coach just a couple of weeks before the season, before the playoffs started, this is remarkable. I got to think you can remove the interim from Coach Adelman's title now. This guy is pretty much the damn coach. All right. And look, and if they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow night in a game 7, that just would be crazy. And they can do it. They are the defending champions. Look, I know losing Aaron Gordon is not going to be easy. You got a rim protector. You got a good defender. Remember, he knocked down that one shot that just really extended this series for the Denver Nuggets. So they're going to miss this guy. And, you know, you don't really have 100% healthy Jamal Murray. But, look, it's the Denver Nuggets, man. They've been there. And that's the thing that Oklahoma's going to have to get past. Oklahoma, I knew they were not going to close out that game the other night in Denver. Who the hell had them as a 4.5 favorite to win in the Mile High City? It was just craziness. So, anyway, cannot wait for that game to take place tomorrow night. And I'll give you my thoughts and opinions on that. But, hey, man, New York Knicks fans, I know they're – look, if you've never been – and I've been to Madison Square Garden to watch an NBA game, never a playoff game, but that place is just rocking all the time. That is one of the – you know, I'm not even a Knicks fan, but I do like watching NBA basketball in New York, especially the Knicks. You know, you get a lot of faithful fans there, but, man, everyone. Busta Rhymes, did you see Busta Rhymes and you know, you just see everybody there in New York, you know, and where Madison Square Garden is located, right there in the heart of Manhattan, everyone rides the subway down there, you know, and they just come down there to party and get it done. So look here, we have a jam-packed show, and it's a one-hour show, a lot of NBA to talk about. The WNBA kicked off last night. As a matter of fact, the Vegas Aces and New York Liberty are playing right now. So we're going to get into more about the NBA playoffs here. And I think here we're going to try to get my old Sports Kings guy downtown, Wayne Brown, on in the next segment, get his thoughts on who's going to win this Eastern Conference Finals between the Knicks and the Pacers. So stick around. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, we are back once again, The Mean Gene Show, here on a Saturday afternoon. ESPN 97.5 H-Town. Look, so according to Denver Sports 104.3 The Fan, the Denver Nuggets forward Aaron Gordon has a chance to play in Game 7 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and this is according to interim head coach David Adelman. All right, so Adelman met with the media Saturday before the team took off to Oklahoma City and gave a relatively positive update on Gordon's hamstring injury. So, look, he has a shot to play, John. And they went through the walkthrough. So at this point right now, it's a game time decision. And these are the scary things, man, because how you felt today does not mean that's the way you're going to feel tomorrow. But I got to think, I don't know. John, do you remember seeing now Steph Curry's injury happened in the game? And you know how much Steph Curry likes to run up and down the court. And Curry called to the Golden State Warriors bench to be taken out of the game. I saw when Aaron Gordon actually grabbed his, and it didn't look like it was as bad. But then again, I don't think Curry was in a position to do any walkthroughs or anything. They ruled him out immediately that he would not be able to play. So this doesn't look bad, as bad of a hamstring injury for Aaron Gordon.
No, I mean, maybe it didn't look as bad, but when, you know, those type of injuries, those you know, especially like hamstring, it's not like a, you know, a bruise or, you know, a strain or something. This is like, you know, if he really pulled his hamstring, like they may be trying, but, you know, hamstrings are tough. I mean, you see people miss, you know, long periods of time for hamstring injuries. So, you know, it's a game seven, so it's important. You know, I know you want to get him out there, but, you know, I just don't – with hamstrings, you just can't really – you know, Steph's looked really bad. Plus, Steph had the hand thing, too, with the finger. So, Steph was just really beat up.
Yeah.
This is – maybe it doesn't look as bad, but, I mean, it may be.
It may be. And look, and I think, you know, it look, just riding in here, you know, this afternoon, it sounded as if he wasn't going to play. And just in a matter of 20 minutes here – since this interview with David Adelman, it has changed. You know, I didn't know that he did a walkthrough, and now it's a game time decision, which, you know, I think he's probably going to get on the court tomorrow, run up and down a couple of laps, and see.
And they may play him in just the moments where they feel like they need him. You know,
that, they will need him.
I know they will. down the stretch, if it's a close game, you know, maybe they put him in there for to get a bigger body in there to play. But it just, you know, I don't know. They're going to have to really figure out whether he's healthy. To go out there, because if you have a chance, you win this series, you're playing in the conference finals next. Right. You want him available for that. You don't want to put him out there, you know, trying to push this here in a game seven. I know it's important, but then you lose him for the rest of the series. You know, this is a tough one to balance.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you lose, you're done, you know. And look, nobody wants the opportunity to play the Minnesota Timberwolves more than Denver. Because this season, the Timberwolves, even going back to last year, they still have it in their minds getting beat by over 20 points and getting eliminated last year. You know, the Timberwolves, you know, so look, that and then the Timberwolves, of course, they get eliminated by the Mavericks and, you know, and Mavericks going to the NBA Finals. But look, Denver, and then this year, the Timberwolves have beaten them four games to zip. So it just seems like, you know, and I talked to a friend of mine about this on the way coming down here. Once a team gets in your head like that, I mean, there was a time when the Denver Nuggets were the most feared team, like the Lakers. The Lakers just could not beat the Denver Nuggets. And it seems like now the Denver Nuggets, they fear the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they want that opportunity, which they may or may not get. But I want to talk about this Denver team and one of the most interesting players on this team, and which could be a major factor tomorrow night, is Russell Westbrook. How interesting that this guy who, you know, started his career there in Oklahoma City, who I mean, come on, do we all remember the Westbrook, Harden, and Kevin Durant days when we thought this team was going to probably run the table for years to come? And none of that happened. All three of these guys ended up going separate ways. The only one that can call themselves a champion out of that trio was Kevin Durant. James Harden got really, really, really close, right? But Russell Westbrook has just been treated like a stepchild. You know, he could say that, you know, they ran him out of Oklahoma, mistreated in Los Angeles by both teams. The Lakers and the Clippers treated him like crap. And he's from L.A., right? Played his ball right there at UCLA. Nobody wants to get revenge more than Russell Westbrook. And to get it against the team where he started with, the Oklahoma City Thunder, look, they boo him now, which is something I never thought I'd see there. I mean, look, he wants this. And Russell Westbrook has contributed greatly in these playoffs. On the road, look, he knocked out the Clippers. That had to be sweet redemption for Russell Westbrook. And for him to go in there tomorrow night and get a win against this old team and eliminate them, even if they don't get past Minnesota, but just to knock out the Clippers and the Thunder in back-to-back playoff series is redemption. And then seeing the Lakers get beat in the first round by Minnesota, look, it just got to be sweet redemption. But, you know, that is the thing that's driving this Denver Nuggets team, in my opinion. Yeah, they've won a championship, and some of the players have been interviewed, and they have said, hey, we want to do this for Russell. Russell hasn't had a taste of the NBA championship yet, and he's a good player and getting up there in years, and he still can run the court, and he is notorious for getting to the basket and coming up empty. I mean, this guy can get to the basket, get past everyone with a burst of speed, and he's so damn quick that he's probably, if there was a stat on how many layups anyone has ever missed in the NBA, Russell Westbrook has probably got to be at the top of that damn chart. Because he will just blow by you. And, John, you know, you can just be so close to the rim that you just miss it. And that's Russell Westbrook. But, look, tomorrow night's game is going to be interesting. And, John, I got to get your thoughts on this, man. I'm looking so ahead at this Knicks-Pacers series that we're really going to have to, you know, kind of close out this. We're still in the semifinals of the Western Conference. Oklahoma is in uncharted, territory, especially with this team. You know, we're not talking about that team that had success with Scottie Brooks and Westbrook, Durant, and Harden. But this is a fairly young team. And look, the other night when they had a chance to close out, I knew that stage was too big for them. And the stage is even going to be bigger in a game seven. Even though you're at home, you're playing against a team that was, you know, defending champs 2 years ago. Who you think is gonna win this?
I think the Denver winning a championship 2 years ago helps them tremendously because they know what that is to get over the hump here recently. I will say this. I have two different kind of angles here as far as like how I'm feeling. I want Denver to win this game because of the Westbrook aspect. You know, Westbrook got hated on for his stint here in with the Rockets, but I never had anything against him. I just thought he was a kind of a wild player on the court. Like you said, quick bursts to the basket, but you know, had some crazy finish. And he couldn't finish. Like, he's not a great shooter. Like he just was a fun player to watch. I don't think a number one on a team. That's why he got booted out of OKC originally. But to watch him go, like you said, eliminate the Clippers and then go through OKC to get to the conference finals. And I mean, he may not go on to win it, but like, that is a triumphant kind of run for him. And it's good to see it. I've never had any hate for him. Plus, I like Jokic. I like the Nuggets. I think they do things right there. Again, another point with that, too, is it very impressive for them to fire their head coach the way they did at the time they did it and then to be where they are right now. But with all that said, I still think OKC is the better team. Mm-hmm. I think they're well coached. They're different, man. And all year long, I know this. The playoffs are different. Everything gets ramped up to another level in the postseason. But I think OKC is going to find a way to put the brakes on Denver here and make it to the conference finals.
You know, and I want to agree with you on that. Look, playing games up there in OKC, that place is
it's ruckus.
Is incredible. I have left games early because of getting a migraine headache because it gets deafening loud there. I mean, it's just you know, when you hear your ears just like burst and ring.
Yeah.
Those fans up there, and they feel it. It's at a very higher level now than it was a few years ago when they had those good runs. They feel it. They feel an NBA Finals.
Yeah. You know what? The way they stockpiled the draft picks and rebuilt this team sort of from the ground up and just went a totally different direction from Westbrook and the Harden and KD era those days. They went through that time, you know, where they were terrible. They rebuilt the team. They built a foundation, and now it seems like they are ready to take that step and actually win.
But this has been a crazy series. I mean, look, you think back to game two, 149-106, Thunder. Then you look at game six, 119-107. I mean, they're putting the points. You know, when you put up these, look, and these are losses. Look at this. Thunder lose, 119 points scored. Thunder lose, 104 points scored. Thunder lose, 107. I mean, over in the East, these are wins, right? You put up that many points on the East, you win games. So this is, I mean, they the ugliest game was a game four when the Thunder needed only 92 points to win, and they held Denver to 87. Since then, you know, it's been crazy. I don't even know what happened that game. That game was, you know, after putting up these ridiculous, crazy points, games one, two, and three, all of a sudden nobody wanted to play in game four, right? But I don't know what to predict tomorrow. I would think maybe it's a low-scoring game. I think we're going to see much of what we saw in game four. I think it will be a low-scoring game tomorrow. But anyway, why don't we take a break here, and when we come back, we'll kind of look at the Eastern Conference Finals and what we can expect from the Knicks and the Pacers. Once again, it's the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, moving right along here, bottom of the hour. We couldn't get downtown Wayne Brown on. He's getting his hair cut, and I don't know what they're cutting because he don't have a whole lot of damn hair. So nothing like a barbershop in Los Angeles. Downtown Wayne Brown, we'll get you back on, brother. We needed to wanted to get his thoughts and opinions. I think he's actually going with the Pacers, so we will address that here in a little bit. But look, I want to back up to Monday because I did a podcast, the Sports Kings podcast, me, Dustin Pfeiffer, Downtown Wayne Brown, Dennis Sharman. You can check that out on Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, Sports Kings podcast. Look, the NBA draft lottery, this thing has just been, look, Dustin Pfeiffer covers the Carolina Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets. He called me up. Man, this thing is rigged. I'm not going to cover the NBA ever again. It's rigged, 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 okay, because the Charlotte Hornets, who has notoriously sucked over the last 20-something years, had a shot to get the number one pick. And, you know, Cooper Flagg, who played his ball at Duke, just happened to be in the state of North Carolina. They thought they would keep this kid right there. And then, of course, you know, you know the thing with the – John, let's talk about this thing here, because I agreed with Dustin there for a minute, thinking it was rigged, because it just sounded like it. Everyone knew what happened with the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic and Nico Harrison, and you trade away this young promising star for injured dinosaur-like player in Anthony Davis. If you know, and he had his reasons, this, that, and the other, and the Dallas Mavericks just wanted to crucify this guy, for lack of better words there. And
rightfully so.
And all of a sudden, then you get the NBA draft lottery. Key word in this whole damn thing is lottery, all right, which, you know, if you ever played the lottery, you may win and you may not, right? And your chances of winning the lottery is just pretty not – it's not good, okay? So, but I just want to, you know, in the NFL, the team with the worst record always, always, always gets the number one pick. And it may not be the best player, though. Okay, that's another thing. That's always – you know, I mean, the Tennessee Titans got Cam Ward. Cam Ward is the number one pick. He may not be the best player. But nevertheless, Tennessee was the crappiest team. And they got the number one pick. Never mind what you do with that pick. You got that pick. Well, in the NBA, they just, it's not that way. From, you know, 1985, I think, when they came along with this draft lottery, it was, well, here, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened here. So they introduced this draft lottery in 1985. The current lottery format, which ensures the worst team picks no lower than fifth and level the odds for the top three teams. But, and this started in 2019. So prior to 2019, the team with the worst record could pick no lower than fourth. So even from 1985, this thing was set up to be sort of, you know, suspect, right? So it's not as cut and dry as the NFL draft. The worst team will not get the number one pick. So anyway, the Dallas Mavericks win the NBA draft with a 1.8% chance, which means that they had a 98% chance of not getting it. The Utah Jazz, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Washington Wizards all had a 14% chance of getting it, which means they had an 86% chance of not getting it. So, I mean, it's the way this thing is set up here. If any changes need to be made, it just needs to be made to the whole system. Give it to the worst team. And in this case, I think it probably would have been the Jazz or the Wizards, in my opinion. I think the Wizards were the worst team, if I'm not mistaken. And then we squashed this. But, John, I had said on the podcast this week, even if the Spurs had got the number one pick, people would have said it was rigged. Popovich steps down to become the president of basketball operations, and they just got Victor Wembanyama last year, and man, they just felt bad for Popovich, so they got the number one pick. So there's no way of solving this.
It's just weird, right? I mean, there's lots of scenarios. When New Orleans lost AD, they get the number one pick. When this year, when the Mavericks do the dumbest thing I've ever seen a team do and trade away a player like Luka, they win that number one pick. And you just sit there and think to yourself, well, you want to believe in the integrity of the NBA. You want to. And the reason they have this in place is to incentivize teams not to tank. We don't want you to be the worst team possible so that you can get the first pick. They don't want the bottom of the league fighting to be the worst so they can get that first pick. But there's got to be a way for it to be more transparent, because they have all they lay it out how they do it. There's four balls or whatever. It's not, they try to prove to everybody that it's not rigged. But when you're a team, or when you're a league like the NBA and people are already questioning your integrity, the last thing you want to do every single time you have one of these is try to prove to everybody that it's not rigged. So you got a problem if every year you have to fight against that. And every year there's a new story and you're like, Victor Wembanyama, I mean, French, the connection with the Spurs, and then all of a sudden there they got the number one pick. It's just weird. They've got to change the system.
You give it to the worst team. That's the only way.
I know, but then I don't want to see the tanking either,
because
though.
Yeah. Then teams tank. So I don't know. I mean, look. Obviously, if you're Charlotte and Utah and the Wizards,
right?
You missed out on Cooper Flagg. Now, the biggest question is what are the Dallas Mavericks going to do? Are they going to draft Cooper Flagg?
And I would say they should.
They probably should.
Yeah.
I don't think they would run Nico Harrison out of the country if he didn't. You get a second chance to make a first impression, which, it's a lottery. You go out and buy scratchers, you go out and play numbers, you don't get the right numbers, your chances of winning, they tell you, are slim to pretty much none. And that's basically, but look at the 76ers, look at the teams that actually finished in the top three, and then the worst teams, but like this thing said, you guaranteed to finish to pick no less than fourth, which is not good, really. You won't, if you're the Wizards, you wanted that pick. But like you said, John, this is all to prevent you from tanking. And you see with load management, with all of this stuff that, the NBA constantly has to deal with each and every year, I don't know how they're going to get every year. It's just going to be an issue.
Yeah, and you mentioned the NFL. Like, I know some teams in the NFL tank to an extent, but it's definitely not as easy to tank in the NFL as it is in the NBA with the load management and everything. It is a real problem the NBA has to figure out how to deal with, because it makes their games so meaningless. Like, if there's a team in the NFL that's tanking, there's still people showing up to the stadium to watch that team. It's an NFL game. They're there either to watch the other team or to watch their favorite player. Yes, they suck, but people are still watching. They're still tuning in. If an NBA team is tanking and they're playing their B roster, like that stadium's empty.
In the NFL,
nobody's
you're
watching.
Get the starters in the NFL.
Yeah.
But look, you know, with the Spurs, I mean, look, and people could still call out the Spurs for getting the number two pick because they said Victor Wembanyama out with about, I don't know what, 10, 15, 20 games left, and they were in the 10th spot. They were in a play-in position to actually get in to the playoffs. And especially when they got De'Aaron Fox and they had Chris Paul, that team looked like, I think I was shocked, and then they said he had somewhat of a blood clot, so which that took on a more serious meaning. But it looked like the Spurs had a chance to actually be a playoff team this year. And but because they set Victor Wembanyama, I mean, look, they were rewarded with a number two pick, which is pretty damn close to the number one pick. And this draft this year is pretty deep. This is a good draft. You know, I saw a lot of these kids at the Final Four. This is going to be a pretty good draft. Even behind Cooper Flag, don't get lost on the other players that are going to be in this draft, which, by the way, is, I think, June 25th, June 26th, right after the NBA Finals. So all of this is going to be another topic of the conversation come June. So just be prepared for it. But anyway, congratulations to the Dallas Mavericks. You got the number one pick in the NBA draft. So anyway, that's going to be fun. So look, the Rockets. The Rockets got the 10th pick, and I think this was via the Phoenix Suns there. And according to Rockets Wire, it looks like the Rockets are going to probably shop that number 10 pick to improve the roster, which, look, instead of adding young talent, because they already have a talented team. I think they're in a great position to improve this team, whether it's bringing in a veteran player or even through the draft. I trust the GM, Raphael Stone, on this one, John. I think what he's done so far with this team is look, you finished with a number two seed in the West. We're talking about the West. All the great teams in the West. I know they came up short against the Warriors in seven games, but I just see things looking even better for the Rockets. Whatever they decide to do, whether they grab a big name here in free agency or get something in this draft, they even got a pick in the second round too. I think the 59th pick. So I think they look pretty good.
I do too. I think they have a real opportunity here. I think they just need to be careful. You know, I've seen some reports today or yesterday that there's rumors floating around that they could be interested, you know, in moving Alperen Şengün in a trade to try to land, you know, a superstar here. And I would just say that, you know, the Durant sweepstakes, the Giannis sweepstakes, like there are players out there that would be worth going after chasing. Durant maybe a little bit less because of his age, but like I would caution to, you know, Raphael Stone to be patient. I mean, this team is growing together. They're well coached and they took a huge step this year. Like just be patient, pump the brakes. If you don't have to separate Alperen Şengün from Ime Udoka and this team and this group of guys, then I don't know why you should. He's really performed well with them. I think he's probably one of the core. I personally wouldn't trade, but there, you know, there's rumors out there that, yeah, I guess teams are wanting him. You know, that's the who they're pointing to. I would just caution him. I'd almost rather him do nothing and let this team grow. Maybe shop that, you know, 10th pick and some other players and bring in somebody else. But I don't think you have to go get a big fish if you're going to lose, you know, Alperen Şengün. Jalen Green I would rather see on the trading block than Alperen Şengün. I just think he needs to be patient. And if he does nothing, that's okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with you on that one. So we should see. I just think it's a better position when you're in a good position to where you really can't make a bad decision. And I think that's where the Rockets are right now with that. They got their coach. You know, the good thing with having a good coach like Coach Udoka is that he look what he's done with these young guys. So even if you decided to keep that pick and bring in the young talent, you just can't go wrong. But I think they have the pieces to bring in that big-name player. No, I do not want it to be Kevin Durant. We do not want Kevin Durant in Houston. I don't. So, I'm not speaking for the whole city, but I'm damn sure speaking for myself. We don't want Kevin Durant here. Did I just say we again?
Yeah, you did.
I know. It just keeps slipping out, okay? But no, I mean, we just don't, all right? And I think some Rocket fans would agree with me. We just don't need that. This team is on an upward pattern here, and I think the leadership they have is in the coach. And look, now, Giannis, different story there, maybe. But we should see. I think it's going to be – it's always an interesting free agency, and I think this year is going to be even better. Look, we're going to wrap this up in the next segment here. Got a huge congratulations to one of our local stars here in H-Town. So stick around. Last segment of the Mean Gene Show coming up right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, we are going to close out the show here. The last segment, Mean Gene Show, ESPN 97.5 H-Town. Glad to be back in the studio. John B., look, folks, I tell you what. Big shout out here. The Golden Gloves of America Boxing Hall of Fame recognizes individuals who have made significant contributions to the sport, both as boxers and as those who support the Golden Gloves program. The Hall of Fame inductees are selected based on their achievements and dedication to the Golden Gloves organization. I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate Ronnie Shields, who has been inducted into the Golden Gloves of America Boxing Hall of Fame. Ronnie is a professional boxing trainer here, right here in from Houston. Ronnie has trained some of the best boxers in the world. He has a gym in Stafford, Texas. He has trained Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Jamal Charlo. Oh my goodness! It's so many fighters that this guy has trained here. Vernon Forrest, Pernell Whitaker, Arturo Gatti, Juan Diaz. I personally had an opportunity. Ronnie invited me out. This was some time ago, years ago, to one of his gyms. And I met a lot of these fighters, Evander Holyfield, Dominique Gwynn, Vernon Forrest. I mean, this is a big time award here, and we wanted to bring, I reached out to Ronnie this week. I wanted to actually bring him in the studio and just really talk about his career. But you know what, John, he's actually getting prepared for some fights. He's got some big
still
fights.
Working, huh?
Still working, man. I mean, he puts in a lot of work here. His family is really proud of him. And I've just been really honored that he has allowed me to, you know, cover him. We have had him on our shows. He has called in anytime I need any interviews. He has been there, and any questions about anything going on in boxing, his opinions, he's been there. But this award is just really good, a big award there. So, and he was a boxer himself, a former professional boxer. He fought at the featherweight division. And like I said, he's one of the biggest trainers in professional boxing. Just a real low key, quiet guy. He's just not one that you're gonna see in front of the cameras talking a lot of crap. I mean, he gets with his fighters. He gives all of his attention to his fighters. He don't have time for that nonsense. I mean, he's serious, man. He is great. And just if you watch any of his fights, when they go to the corner and you look at the communication between him and his fighters, It's incredible. You can see why this guy is successful. And like I said, you don't get to work with these big names here if you don't know what the hell you're doing. So a Hall of Famer, great stuff. We still going to try to get him on here. Because, you know, I got some people back from my high school days that I still want to whoop their ass. And I need – Ronnie might have to help me. You know, I just need to be taught a couple of things just to go back and knock the hell out of some people that did me wrong. And I think just for that reason.
You've been holding that grudge a while, man.
I just need some personal personal advice here, man. But no, Ronnie, man, you deserve it, man. congratulations once again. And cannot wait to the next fight. And we will have all that information on his next fight, because he is always working. There's never a time when I reach out to him that he is not on his way to some big event or fight or meeting. With he's just, that's just him. So thought we would get that done here. So, John, we have to talk about who's going to. Okay, well, first of all, we do know when game one of the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be. All right. The Knicks and the Pacers, game one, they have it set for May 21st. I think that's Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, which 7 p.m. if you're in the Central Time on TNT. That's game one. Now, we also know when game one of the Western Conference Finals is going to take place, regardless of who wins tomorrow night. That is going to be on Tuesday, May 20th, on ESPN, 8:30 Eastern time. So game one of the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be May 21st, all right, Wednesday. Game one of the Western Conference Finals is going to be May 20th, Tuesday. Am I right, John? Because on my podcast the other day, I gave out some whack-ass time. I don't know what I was thinking about. I got so caught up in this Knicks-Celtics series that I gave out. I thought it was a game seven, and then the game tonight. Well, I thought it was a game tonight, which turned out to be tomorrow night. So we got it right this time. So regardless of who wins between the Thunder and the Nuggets, that Western Conference Finals game one is going to be May 20th.
You got it right.
All right. That's why I'm giving dates instead of days. So you look at the damn calendar and figure it out. No. Anyway, so we got this right. All right. But anyway, I got the Pacers. I got the Pacers because Rick Carlisle, great coach. Rick Carlisle could do something that hasn't been done by a lot of coaches, by the way. He won a championship with the Mavericks. Okay. They didn't want to keep Rick Carlisle. I think it was shocking when the Mavericks fired him and brought in Jason Kidd, knowing that he had won a championship, which seems to be the norm in the NBA. Now you get fired after winning championships. You get fired after being coaches of the year in the NBA. You know, we saw that with Malone. But Rick Carlisle is in a position to take another team, not only to the NBA Finals, but win. And I can't wait to see what the odds are, regardless of what happens here, you know, and who's going to be the favorite to win the NBA Finals. Now, I think the Pacers, I think you have to look at the Pacers as being a favorite. They own the Knicks. And, John, tell – we just got through looking at a Twitter clip of a WWE.
Uh-huh.
John, explain it.
I don't know when. It had to have been this year. It had to have been this during this season. One of the WWE events, they had Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton sort of facing off against each other in like a WWE storyline. And it works perfectly. You got, you know, Tyrese Halliburton like with the, you know, brass knuckles, hitting the stairs, and Brunson jumps over out of the crowd this and comes up there. This is the best preview for a storyline ending that you can have.
This is marketing to the maximum here.
I mean, there's no way they could have predicted this, but it's sort of worked out perfectly.
You got to maximize it to the maximum. So, but look, I got the Pacers, okay, winning this series, okay, and I can't wait to talk about it next week when we come back, because we should already have at least two games played in that Eastern Conference Finals. As far as tomorrow night, I'm going to take the Oklahoma City Thunder and that crowd, call it the seventh-man crowd. You know, I think they're going to win that, and I think we're going to look forward to an exciting Minnesota Timberwolves, Oklahoma City Thunder, Western Conference Finals. And as far as that one would go, oh, my goodness. Ugh. I don't know, John. I would say if Oklahoma can beat Denver, I'd just have to take Oklahoma to represent the West. So perhaps we got an Oklahoma-Indiana Pacers NBA Finals.
The NBA would hate that.
They would, because I think they would want to see the Timberwolves and, well, they might want to see Denver. And look, they might want to see Denver and the Pacers.
I think when they started this process, they probably were crossing their fingers for Knicks Lakers. I think I'd taken the Knicks. I think they'll get the Knicks, but we'll see who comes out on the West to face the Knicks. But I think the Knicks are going to find their way in there.
All right. Well, we should see, folks. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. We'll be back next week for more of the NBA Conference Finals updates. Don't forget Game 7 tomorrow night. Thunder and the Nuggets Sunday on ABC. And the WNBA season is back in action. All right. We'll see you back here next week on the Mean Gene Show, ESPN 97.5, H-Town.
Have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have 80 to 120 milligrams, whew, of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,